on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the teenage girl who died following a fatal crash outside Letterkenny just before midnight has been named locally as Chloe Gallagher Fanneran from Creevesmith in Letterkenny. The Housing Minister is meeting with the Chief Executive of Donegal County Council tomorrow to discuss the progression of the defective blocks redress scheme. Meanwhile, the Chair of the MICA Action Group has told Highland Radio that she doesn't believe the €15,000 emergency accommodation allowance agreed by government is enough. And tourism bosses are warning the level of tourist accommodation being used to house Ukrainian refugees could have a negative impact next year. Later in the bulletin, Kenny is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15, but we begin with the fatal collision that took place outside Letterkenny on the Remelton Road just before midnight last night. The teenage girl killed in that collision has been named locally as Chloe Gallagher Fanneran from Creevesmith in Letterkenny. Two men sustained serious injuries. Forensic collision investigators remain at the scene. With the details, here's Emma Ryan.
Gardaí remain at the scene of the fatal road traffic collision involving two cars that occurred at 11:55pm on the Remelton Road. The female teenager was a front seat passenger and was pronounced dead at the scene. The male drivers of both vehicles were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital with serious injuries. Gardaí say the road is currently closed. Local diversions are in place. Gardaí are appealing for any witnesses to come forward. They are asking any road users who may have camera footage, including dash cam, and were travelling on the Remelton Road between 11:30pm and midnight to make it available.
In what could be a crucial meeting, the Housing Minister is set to meet with the Chief Executive of Donegal County Council tomorrow to discuss the progression of the defective blocks redress scheme. Last evening, Donegal County Council confirmed it's once again progressing the scheme after receiving clarification on the inclusion of deleterious materials other than mica, with all applicants to be contacted in the next fortnight. In the Dáil, Donegal Deputy Patrick McLaughlin urged Minister Dara O'Brien to either provide modular homes or release funding immediately to people whose homes are now unsafe.
Either you release the €15,000 to allow them to try and find alternative accommodation, or that would be modular, high-quality housing built in different sites. So please, when you're meeting the Chief Executive, come up with some solutions.
I'm actually meeting the Chief Executive this Friday. Intend to discuss this with him. We're working very cooperatively with Donegal County Council. I'm certain that we can front-load some of the expenses where homes are dangerous, and I want to do that.
Well, the chair of the MICA Action Group says the €15,000 emergency allowance for alternative accommodation, which is being suggested for homeowners who have to move out for defective block remediation works, needs to be increased. Minister Dara O'Brien is expected to confirm after that meeting with John McLaughlin tomorrow that the money will be released to facilitate those who have to move out because their homes are unsafe. Well, on today's 9 till noon show, Lisa Hone said the reason those homes are unsafe is because the redress scheme was paralysed for so long with no help forthcoming. She says the minister must do more.
I think he should go further, because it depends on the circumstances of the particular homeowner. There are homeowners that are living in unsafe, unhealthy homes. They have applied to the scheme, but the scheme, as we know, has been effectively paralysed. Now, that $15,000 for accommodation was designed to help people when they have to move out of their home because of rebuild works. It was not designed to support homeowners who are living in really unsafe homes because their application is not progressing and it's just literally taking too long. So my concern would be that if that is all they offer, and this is why I think it should go further, if we've got homeowners who need that before they even get to a stage where they can use the $15,000 to support their rent when they have to move out. You know, like, if you're asking somebody to move out for what, 2-3 years, that's not going to cut it.
The HSE has confirmed its approach to counselling in the aftermath of the Chrysler tragedy has changed, with the focus now on the provision of more targeted therapeutic services by facilitating referrals to clinical services for counselling, trauma therapy where necessary, and mental health services. Immediate psychological first aid is still available via the support line at 087 140 5138 and in person as required in Creasla. The HSE says the nature of the response will change over time in line with the needs of the community and in line with international best practice. Primary care counselling services remain available in Creasla, Dunfanaghy, Fulcara and Letterkenny. Meanwhile, tributes were paid this morning at Donegal County Council's Economic Enterprise and Emergency Social Policy Committee to all agencies involved in the rescue and recovery operation following the Creasla explosion. The Council's Director of Emergency Services, Gary Martin, praised all those who responded. He acknowledged the support from the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, including specialists and canine and camera support from Belfast. Tourism bosses are warning the level of tourist accommodation being used to house Ukrainian refugees could have a negative impact on the sector next year. According to the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, a quarter of tourist accommodation is now being used to fulfil government contracts. Owen O'Mara Walsh is Chief Executive of the Confederation. He says that situation needs to be remedied.
One of the big issues is the impact of government contracts with tourism accommodation suppliers and how many rooms are being taken up and how many rooms are potentially going to be taken out of the tourism economy next summer, which will have a huge detrimental impact on revenue, on tax receipts, on employment, unless it's remedied somewhat.
A local councillor says the funding announced today for reimagining Remelton will provide a major boost to the town and help combat dereliction. €6.4 million is being made available toward the €8 million project under a major rural regeneration development fund. It'll see the restoration of the House of the Bray and create public spaces and amenities at Gamble Square and Market Square. Councillor Ian McGarvey is hoping the funding will help address dereliction, but also help to ensure that Remelton's potential is maximised.
Actually, I hope that it will boost the town to this extent. Much of the dereliction that still exists in town, being held by property owners and so on, could be developed and could be brought into use as well, because Remelton, proximity to Letterkenny, with the development in Letterkenny, which I have no problem with, but everybody knows the demand for expansion and the amount of housing that is going to be needed and everything else. Remelton is an ideal, has been talked about years ago as a kind of a satellite town of Letterkenny, and where development would be very, very useful to assist with development in Letterkenny as well. One thing I would have to say, this is most welcome, because Remelton is a town, from the time of the grand jury, had much to go for it to be promoted more beneficially for everybody, not just for Remelton. But the one thing I would like to say as a county councillor, to pay tribute to my fellow councillors, number one, to the county executive, number two, and for the team who did all the work to put Remelton forward for such consideration. Because it indicates too, we'll say, all of us who are in public life, when people persistently hold a belief that certain things can and should be done, it has proved to be well worthwhile.
Councillor Ian McGarvey. The cost of living has risen to its highest rate for almost 40 years. Inflation rose to 9.2% in October, a figure not seen since 1984. Energy costs saw the biggest increases in the Consumer Price Index, with gas prices up 93% and electricity up 71%. The number of fires being dealt with by the Donegal Fire Service has reduced. The service responded to a total of 786 calls last year, down 3% from 2020. Despite that, there has been a slight increase in malicious calls to the service. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The Donegal Fire Service saw a 20% decrease in the number of fires in the county. Latest figures show 396 fires were dealt with by the service in 2021. 11 malicious false alarms were responded to last year, which is up on the previous year. A recent flares report has revealed that between 2015 and 2021, 9% of the land in Donegal has been burnt, equating to 7,600 GAA pitches in the county and emissions generated from 28,700 cars. Chief Fire Officer Joseph McTaggart says the recruitment and retention of firefighters is a challenge. He says means and methods of addressing the issue are being sought and is urging more women to apply. Other challenges being faced by the service include increasing demands in training, health and safety, national guidance, fleet and equipment maintenance and replacement.
Donegal County Council's Islands Committee is stepping up its campaign to have a fire service developed on Tory Island. The issue was raised by Tory representatives at a meeting this week and also at a meeting of the Glenties Municipal District. Tory has a population of around 120 people, but there is no fire station and no fire tender on the island. Councillor John Hamish O'Farrie says with new tenders being located at a number of stations across the county, arrangements should be made to transfer one of the older tenders over to Tory.
There's no fire tender on Tory Island at the moment, and I've been raising this on numerous occasions with the council and also the fire services in Donegal, along with other councillors from the municipal district. The island community in Tory Island deserve a fire service that's fit for purpose, and at the moment that's not there. We're getting new fire tenders into the fire stations around Donegal and around Ireland, and I'm sure they're able to get a second-hand fire tender to Tory Island for the public to avail of it, as we see that the population has grown over the last number of years in the island, and it's important the amount of tourists and everything that goes to the island, with two schools there, a hotel, a local pub, and the amount of people that are living on the island, that the services are put in place.
We do know the local community will provide the volunteers, that the local community is absolutely willing to maintain as best it can a fire tender, so it isn't a matter of the council having to deploy personnel and staff over there. This is literally a matter of getting a vehicle and, where necessary, providing the training to the community.
Yes, it's providing the training, but unfortunately they don't have a fire brigade there, they don't have a fire station there on the island, so I think it's very important that a decision should be taken, and not to linger on the long finger, that this would be implemented in the coming months. We seem to be bringing this up constantly for the last number of years and nothing's happening. Hopefully now that somebody in Lifford or the department in Dublin will be listening to our voice and the concerns that we have from the islanders, and it's about time this was addressed.
Councillor John Hamish O'Farrie. The Northern Secretary is insisting he is prepared to call an election in the new year if the Stormont impasse continues. Yesterday, Chris Heaton-Harris extended the deadline for an executive to be formed and outlined plans for a cut in Assembly members' pay. He says ongoing talks between the EU and UK could lead to a breakthrough before an election has to be called.
What I'm doing is creating the time and space for the UK government and the European Commission to have talks. If we manage to solve that problem, then there is no reason for the executive to not be reformed.
New listenership figures have cemented Highland Radio's position as Donegal's most listened to radio station. Today's JNLR Ipsos figures show that in the year up to the end of September, 77% of people in the county tuned into Highland Radio each week, with 56% tuning in daily. Highland's market share sits at 66.6%. That's the highest of any radio station in the country.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, a station roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and former Donegal Gaelic boss Jim McGuinness is among the names linked to the Fanharps managerial role. He had a spell in charge of Charlotte Independence in the United States, while he also held a coaching role with Celtic. Kevin McHugh, Paul Hegarty, William O'Connor and Declan Boyle are just some of the other names being mooted for the role. Harps are on the lookout for a new manager for the first time in 9 years following the departure of Ollie Horgan yesterday. The Galway native told Greg Hughes on this morning's 9 till noon show it was never about him, it was always about the club.
The supporters who were there through thick and thin in the difficult years and the good years, and ending in a very difficult year, they stood by me and the players, and we had no right really for them to stand by us. They turned on us in years that we actually avoided relegation, and there was a hell of a lot of pride when I saw that happen. I thought, yeah, you're good people, you're hurting, and I would love, you know, that the club could get back on to the Premier Division for them as well as the whole community. But for them alone, I took a lot of pride in that, and driving up and down the road, I thought, yeah, you know, some of them are as mad as hatters. We're all mad, Greg, but I thought, yeah, they did a bit about them, and they knew the difficulty that the players and the management that were in you know, we were struggling. There's no point in saying anything different. It wasn't the lack of effort, but they backed us right to the end, and I just would love to see the club get back up for them in particular, Greg.
You can hear more from Ollie speaking to Greg Hughes on the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Other news, Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny says Evan Ferguson deserves to be included in his 26-man squad for their upcoming international friendlies. The 18-year-old Brighton striker has been called up for the first time along with Southampton midfielder Will Smallbone, who's currently on loan at Stoke. Dundee United's Jamie McGrath and Liam Scales of Aberdeen earn recalls, while fit again, Liverpool netminder Kevin Kelleher also returns. Ireland hosts Norway next Thursday before playing Malta away 3 days later. Seamus Coleman and James McLean are both included, but boss Stephen Kenny's revealed that defender Shane Duffy's been left out of the 26-man squad for personal reasons. Duffy has struggled for game time on loan at Fulham and is omitted, as is Derby's Jason Knight. Cross-channel James Maddison, Marcus Rashford and Newcastle striker Callum Wilson have been included in England's 26-man squad for the World Cup. Arsenal defender Ben White also gets a call-up for Qatar following the injury to Chelsea fullback Reece James. Manchester City pair Kyle Walker and Calvin Phillips are both in following recent fitness problems, but there's no place for defenders Dan Byrne or Fiki Otomori or Brentford striker Ivan Toney. The draw for the fourth round cup of the Carabao Cup will be made tonight. It'll be following the meeting of Manchester United and Aston Villa. It's the last of the third round ties. Kick-off at Old Trafford tonight's at 8 o'clock. In rugby, Jeremy Lochman will make his senior debut for Ireland, captained by Tadhg Furlong, in the Autumn Nations clash with Fiji on Saturday. The loose head prop starts alongside hooker Rob Herring as two of nine changes to the team that started against South Africa. Lock, Kieran Treadwell and back rowers Nick Tomney and Jack Conan also start, while there's a new halfback lineup of Jameson Gibson-Park and Joey Carberry. The last two changes see Jimmy O'Brien start at fullback, with Robbie Henshaw return to the centre. Jack Crowley and Cian Prendergast could make their debuts off the bench. And a little bit of history will be made at Parc Achive this evening. Munster host a South Africa A team, with the game set to be the most attended ever rugby game in the province. Action gets underway at the Cork venue at 7:30. In motorsport, the finalist for Motorsport Ireland's Billy Coleman Young Rally Driver of the Year Award has been announced and is dominated by Northwest drivers. Donegal's Eamon Kelly has been named alongside Patrick O'Brien from Oma and Tyrone and Kyle McBride from Clonmany and Donegal. All three drivers are in the running for the prestigious award, which has a prize fund of €100,000. The three drivers were drawn from seven candidates who were nominated on the back of their performances this year. The overall winner of the 2022 award will be announced at the Champions of Irish Motorsport Awards ceremony, which takes place on Wednesday, December the 7th at the Crown Plaza Hotel Santry in Dublin. In Gaelic games, there's one hurling fixture down for decision this evening. It's under 17B hurling championship final over at the Donegal GA Centre in Convoy. Cairndonagh, they play Sean McCool's. That one gets underway at 6:30. In golf in the DP World Tour, the Nedbank Golf Challenge is taking place this week at the Gary Player Country Club in Sun City in South Africa. New Zealand's Ryan Fox leads the way on 8 under par after a 64 today. He's one ahead of the Ryder Cup captain Luke Donald. He shot a 65 for 7 under par. In snooker, Northern Ireland's Jordan Brown has qualified for the UK Championship. He booked his place in the first round today with a 6-3 win in the final round qualifier win over Zach Surety at Pons Forge. Finally, for this evening on the score this week, we'll hear more about Dolly Horgan's departure as Finn Harps manager. We'll be speaking with Gavin Cullen. The Derry Journal soccer writer Kevin McLaughlin looks ahead to this Sunday's cup final as Derry City look to lift the cup for the first time in 10 years when they play Shelburne. We'll hear from Dunlow and Nave Connell camps ahead of their Ulster Club Championship ties this weekend. And Eamon Giles joins us to talk more on the upcoming National Cross Country Championships. That's the score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Donald.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. It's a Thursday evening, which means it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
There is a new national forestry programme and a considerable amount of funding has been allocated, and there certainly will be implications for all involved in this sector. Well, Ross Buchanan is a forestry consultant and Donegal representative on the IFA National Forestry Committee. And Ross, this new funding no doubt will be welcomed, although I suppose, as always, the detail has yet to come out in full.
Yeah, we've been given limited detail to date. We've been given proposed new rates for new planting. I know that there are another tranche of proposed payments on the way that will relate to existing forest owners. But what we have at present is relating to anyone considering planting. Obviously, substantial increases, so a real push to get more woodland cover in Ireland, to capture carbon, to grow timber. And so, yeah, certainly welcome in our sector, which has been jammed up for the past few years. And hopefully, from an administration point of view, they can cope with what's likely to be an uptake of the schemes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's so topical, given all the talk in connection with climate change this week. And essentially, we're talking here about increased premiums for planting trees in the region of anything from 46 to 66% increase. So that is substantial.
Yep, big jumps there. And I suppose the idea there is really that uptake of the last rounds had dwindled substantially. I suppose confidences were dented in the Forest Service and their delivery. And also, I mean, it's a big consideration to switch land that's been in your family or that you've acquired into forestry. But this is highlighting how important it's seen to be to put more land into forestry, to grow more trees, to improve biodiversity, to capture carbon, and to up timber production and use timber in place of more carbon expensive alternatives.
Yeah. So the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell-Logue, he's also highlighted the fact that the premium period will be from 15 to 20 years for farmers who are involved in this. So this could be a very important source of income.
Yeah, I mean, the IFA have campaigned strongly for a disparate payment for farmers. You know, hopefully that'll help bring farmers back into the fold, because the number of farmers who had been planting had dropped off substantially. But yeah, substantial sums of money, great opportunity for people with marginal land to acquire tax-free pension, tax-free income off the land, and grow a crop for the future as well.
So can you give us sort of some sort of idea of what sort of money could be paid out to somebody availing of this new scheme?
Well, for instance, the native woodland or the broadleaf schemes specifically we'll talk about the native woodland scheme. It's the highest payment that's available out there. It'll pay a landowner who takes up the scheme some €1,100 per hectare per annum over the course of the next 20 years if they're a farmer, or 15 years if they're a non-farmer. You don't have to put a massive amount of hectares into forestry to have a nice bit of cash coming on the side. As I say, it's tax-free.
So you would expect that here in Donegal there will be quite a big take-up for this?
I certainly suspect that a lot of people who had been considering it will now jump at it. Probably people who are perhaps farming in marginal land where it's not working very well, given the huge cost increases for inputs, will also look at it closely. Maybe people who have acquired land and aren't farmers will look at it. And even, you know, there's a small woodland scheme where just about every landowner can avail of putting in up to a hectare, and it bypasses the administrative nightmare that has existed there within the Forest Service, and gives an opportunity to to create a little income stream from maybe part of the farm that's not productive.
You touched on there the licensing process. There's been all sorts of difficulties the last number of years, big delays in people being able to get a license for the felling of trees. Where are we at in relation to all of that at the moment?
Well, I had a meeting there this week with the top men in the Forest Service who assured me that they've been tackling the backlog, it's coming down, but they've assured me that they have the resource in place to deal with the tsunami of new applications that are coming. And they said quite clearly that they'll be happy to face the IFA in a year's time and see if they were right or wrong. I mean, it does boggle belief that, for instance, if you're looking at planting native woodland, which is what would naturally occur on the landscape here in Donegal, but you have to undergo appropriate assessment from an ecologist to see if it would be damaging or not.
Well, this funding for the next National Forestry Programme, a figure of $1.3 billion has been mentioned. There is a period of public consultation, so the actual finer details could yet be tweaked, but all in all, it's looking positive.
All in all, it's looking positive. My understanding is that it hasn't all been agreed at an EU level yet. No one's denying the importance of getting more trees in the ground. And Ireland's got a great opportunity to do it because, as we all know, we're one of the least forested countries in Europe.
And one final thing, Ross, there's a webinar taking place next Monday, the 14th of November at 4 o'clock. It's on sustainable energy solutions, and it's been hosted by the Chagas Horticulture Development Department and Chagas Energy Specialist Barry Caslin, no stranger to Donegal, of course. He's going to be looking at boiler technology and reviewing the impacts of a range of fuel types. And, of course, wood pellets will feature large in that. Again, an area of considerable opportunity.
Yes, definitely. We're being pushed now into, it looks like, we're being encouraged, rather, into planting more native woodland. And if we want to develop that as a timber resource, we need to be thinning it along the way and managing it. And it's key that the smaller products have a market. And so we should be looking at sustainable use of the small product for heating homes where we can. Although I do have concerns with new building now, you can't have a chimney in, and you know that's taken away from a market opportunity there for managing native woodland, and potentially there won't be a timber resource in the future if it's not being managed.
And that was Ross Buchanan, a forestry consultant and the Donegal representative on the IFA's National Forestry Committee. After a three-year hiatus, the final of the Macra Queen of the Land Festival takes place in the Bridgehouse Hotel in Tullamore this weekend. Donegal has been represented by Jessica Duncan, who is from Rafu and who is studying agricultural science at ATU Letterkenny. And finally, IFA Sheep Chairman Kevin Comiskey has said that the Department of Agriculture's annual review and outlook for 2022 clearly sets out the crisis facing sheep farmers as market prices fail to reflect the higher production costs on farms. He said prices are currently 23 cent a kilo behind last year's levels, or almost €5 a lamb, despite the enormous input cost increases of over 30%. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Thanks, Chris. For the forecast, it'll stay mild and breezy overnight with outbreaks of rain at times. Lowest overnight temperatures 12 to 14 degrees Celsius in strong and gusty southerly winds. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered outbreaks of rain or drizzle. The best of the dry weather expected across the eastern part of the region. Mild and windy again with highest temperatures of 14 to 16 degrees Celsius. Strong southerly winds again with gales along windward coasts, and a wind warning issued earlier this week by Met Éireann does remain in place. That's Silent Radio News for now. Main stories and the teenage girl who died following a fatal crash outside Letterkenny just before midnight last night on the Rebelton Road has been named locally as Chloe Gallagher Fanneran from Creve Smith in Letterkenny. Forensic collision investigators remain at the scene. Two men have sustained serious injuries and are being treated in hospital. The HSE has confirmed its approach to counselling in the aftermath of the Chrysler tragedy has changed. The focus is now on the provision of more targeted therapeutic services, but immediate psychological first aid is still available via the support line and in person in Chrysler as required. Full details on those changes on our website. And the Housing Minister is meeting with the Donegal County Council Chief Executive tomorrow to discuss MICA. And tourism bosses warned the level of tourist accommodation being used for Ukrainian refugees needs to be addressed. Next news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 10th of November. The death has occurred of Mary C. Gallagher, formerly of 28B Ardmacool, Stranorer. Remains reposing at McCool's Chapel of Rest tomorrow, with visiting time from 7pm until rosary at 9pm, and again on Saturday from 3pm until removal at 5pm to the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorer, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Sunday morning at 11, followed by interment in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed on churchservices.tv. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, directly to the Donegal Hospice or care of any family member. The death has occurred of Chloe Gallagher Fanneran, 31, Letcherbeg, Creve Smith, Letterkenny. Chloe's remains will repose at the family residence from 10am until 10pm tomorrow. Funeral on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by interment in Newleck Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of John Una Friel, Laddin, Fanad. His remains will repose at the family home from 6 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Fanavalti, on Saturday afternoon at 1, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary nightly at 8pm. Family fires only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Renal Dialysis Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Eamon Scott, funeral director. The death has taken place of Elizabeth McLaughlin, Den, Carraria Road, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her home. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family fires only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Carndonagh Community Hospital. The death has taken place of Danny McGarvey, Newtown, Springfield, Fanad. His remains are en route to St Columbus Church, Massmount, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St Mary's Fanavalti and St Columbus Massmount Facebook page. Family fires only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Larissa Lodge Nursing Home Patient Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or McAteer funeral directors. The death has taken place of Edward Ferry, Dunluí Gwydor. His remains are reposing at his home with rosary at 8pm tonight. Funeral Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Dunluí, tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty funeral director's Facebook page. Family fires only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Bridget Breed McCormick, Nae McDade, 3, The Pines, Church Hill. Bridget's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Requiem Mass in St Columbkill's Church, Glendowen, at 11, followed by burial in Temple Douglas Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family fires only, please. Donations to Palliative Care Department, Letterkenny Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Mary Gallagher, née Kyle, Port Salon and Fawn Donegal. Her remains are reposing at her son Tony's residence at Croke Ross, Port Salon, Fannad. Removal from there at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, arriving at Christ the Redeemer Church, Ross na Kill, for 2 o'clock funeral service. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family fires only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, care of any family member or McAteer Funeral Directors. The funeral service can be viewed live on McAteer Funeral Directors' Facebook page. And the death has occurred of Winnie Doherty, St Bridget's, Cockhill Road, Buncrana. There will be no wake. The house is strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.